Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Champions League, oh yeah. Puckle! Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my spectacular co-host, we've got Linian.
Hello.
And Claude9.
Hello, everyone.
And welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. Yeah, we've got a good show today, I hope. And I'm excited. I don't know. So I just like have a quick thing. I did a little bit of Pokemon. I played like some VGC for stream, which was a good time, actually. I really enjoyed doing that. But This is completely not Pokemon related. So I was super late to stream this week, because I didn't go to the gym in the morning and I wanted to get like a little bit of a workout in. And when I do that, I play Ring Fit Adventure.
Of course. And, well, I wouldn't care.
Yeah. Okay. No,
that's fine. I've done it too. I get it. Yeah. It's a good exercise. It's more, I'm afraid of how this delayed you.
He got caught inside the ring.
No. So like, I'm like, you know, if you do like a level or something, it's like 15, maybe 20 minutes, you know, if you do a level of Ring Fit. Yeah. So I got to the final level of Ring Fit. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do that. There's no way they're going to like make this like excessively long. Like worst case, like maybe this is a half hour or something, you know?
Oh my. Oh,
and no. It ended up being about 50 minutes for the final level. Like the final boss has, I kid you not, like 12 health bars. And I was so frustrated because like it's like classic JRPG where like there's second phase to boss battle. So like I do the first phase. I'm like, wow, that wasn't too bad. It was about, you know, the half hour that I thought it would be. That's pretty good. Good game design. And then like second phase happens and then it's even harder than the first phase. And
oh,
I'm like, what's happening right now? I'm like, what's happening? So it ended up being like a 50 minute level. And I was like, you know, it's sunk cost fallacy. I'm like, I'm not turning this off. I'm not restarting this. I'm getting done, you know? So that's why I was late to stream, was because it ended up being a 50 minute workout instead of like a 20 minute workout, like I had hoped and expected. But yeah, that was the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that was my fun tidbit. I don't know if you guys have any fun tidbits from your lives or anything you want to bring up or talk about.
In a similar related note, I have decided to start denoodling and doing some strength training.
Ooh.
Oh?
I've been doing
and
that.
And so, yeah, about three times a week, yeah, a couple in. And so it's Monday, Wednesday, and someday on the weekend. Usually Saturday. So Monday, do it. Kind of sore Tuesday, you know, the kind of like,
yeah.
Finally working. It was fine. And Wednesday, I was going to do the whole, mostly a lot of upper body stuff. But at work, long story short, the people who normally help with a lot of the physical stuff were getting pulled aside for something else. So I ended up doing about 4 hours of just basically lifting and moving doors all day.
Ooh.
And I got home and Cole's like, ready to go exercise? And I went,
absolutely not.
And laid down.
Absolutely not. Yeah, I know that energy. I know that energy. Yeah. There's like, that happened to me today. Well, I actually had like some homeowner related issues happen. This is a Pokemon podcast, by the way. And
yeah.
So in my basement, I hate my basement. I love my basement because I have like space to do things, but I hate it because it is the part of the house that has given me the most trouble since we've owned it. And so the sump pump line runs on the outside of the house to get the water out of the basement, as you would in the United States. And the, like last year around this time, the PVC pipe that is pumping the sump pump failed and it started dumping. Essentially, the sump pump would go off, and we didn't notice this, and it was dumping a bunch of water into a window well.
Yep.
Because the PVC pipe cracked. And so then all that water leaked in through the window, and it, like, destroyed the flooring I had put in.
And, oh, no.
Yeah, so that happened last year. And it also, like, messed up the wall and everything. And so I've been better about, like, checking the basement since then as well. And so I went downstairs and I saw it again, like, the floor was wet and it's destroyed the floor that I replaced. And it's because the same piece, like, the replacement cracked as well. Or, like, a joint failed or something, roughly in the same spot, and it did the exact same thing all over again. So I have to deal with that this weekend. Yeah, it's a good time. It's a great time. Yeah, yeah. Homeownership.
That's not fun.
Homeownership. Now I have to put a new floor in, too. This time I'm doing, like, waterproof flooring, though. I'm done. Waterproof flooring.
I mean, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Slip and slides everywhere. That's what we're doing. That's going to be the party. But, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, Claude, yeah, tell me what you're up to, man.
I just finished Radical Red on stream yesterday. Ooh. Or last night.
Yeah.
So far on Saturday, so it was Friday night. I just finished it. We got a couple of good memes because I made you the rival, and they insult the rival in that game. Which is kind of funny. There was a point where it was like, Thatch, I'm very disappointed in you.
I'm very disappointed in me, too.
Get in line.
Right? Like, nobody hates me more than I hate me. Okay.
So, it was a lot of fun. You know, it was very difficult. I hated it. And, you know, I'm working on something new to come later for that. But that's been my Pokemon in a week. That and...
Yeah.
I've gotten to the dark side of looking at offers on eBay.
For what?
For Pokemon cards for cheap.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Because I kept finding, like, bids on things. I'm like, why is this, like, or, like, someone selling stuff. I was like, oh, this is a $6 card. Why can I get it for $3? Well, let's find out. So.
Has it not, like, bit you in the butt or anything about that?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
We're going to find out when the card shows up to me, and we'll see if it's real.
Yeah. eBay can do both good and bad.
I know. So I decided to take a little test because we got our, you know, it was end of the year at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, let me, you know, take this opportunity to figure out whether or not this is a thing that's real or fake and who I can trust, who I can't. And, you know, I got a couple of, like, really, really good deals on some Pokemon cards that I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Like a full art Professor Sada's for $5. I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
What? That doesn't seem right.
No, yeah. That seems...
What's wrong?
Like crimes.
It's supposed to be a $10 card, but it comes in today. So I will know later today whether or not I just got...
You need to DM me. I need to know the answer to this question, Claude. I need to know.
Oh, I know the answer to this question. I just don't know.
There was only one in that time slot, and I just happened to be there when the bid ended, and that was that.
Maybe. To be fair, I don't think a lot of people go to eBay for cards.
No, exactly.
No, they have more sense than that.
You're right, yeah. And I think I may have gotten a good deal on one thing, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, TCG Player. I mean, I think eBay owns TCG Player now, so...
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but...
TCG Player is fine. I mean, you can also, like, make sure that it's coming from an actual game store and not somebody's basement.
That's what I did. I was looking like, oh, this person has sold hundreds and hundreds of stuff before.
Yeah.
This seems legit.
Yeah. eBay, you could probably make out with that. Not too badly.
See.
Yeah. I'm interested what, like, drives people to do it on eBay too, other than, like,
not being able to do it in a store, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, you could get more than, so if it's a $10 card and Claude bought it for $5, you could go to, like, a store and get 70% of that. So they could have gotten, like, $7. Like, Claude could make money on this, right?
You're right. I could make a total of $2,
yeah.
But I want the card so I can play with
this.
This
is just how people get addicted to penny stocks.
I know.
Yeah, this is what I'm hearing.
Well, see, this is my problem. It's like, all right, well, I set myself a limit. I'm like, all right, I'm allowed to spend this much money on this. And it's like, all right, cool. I haven't hit that yet. And I don't mind sitting and waiting to buy things. It's like, oh.
No, that's true. Know, I know this about you.
It's like, cool, like, I have a bid out for, like, a full art chorus experiment right now that's sitting at $2 that still has, like, 3 days to go. I'm like, all right, we're going to see what happens in 3 days or something like that.
Yeah, if you do, like, actual auctions, I feel like you're going to make a better – you're going to come out ahead.
That's what I was doing. I don't just buy the stuff. I have to do an auction for it.
I'm all about that. I'm all about that instant gratification.
Oh, so, yeah.
I'm all about that instant gratification. So I can't do that. I need to just go buy the cards and be like, yep, they'll be here in a couple days on TCG Player.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I have everything I want right now. It's like, but part of me is like, all right, well, if I were going to, like, what would I want to bling out if any part of my deck?
And yeah.
Like, it's the supporters. It's the only thing I care about is the supporters, is because I can use those for multiple decks.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm, you know, going to play Roaring Moon, it's, I have to only use Roaring Moons for that one type of deck.
Yeah. Paldean Fates dropped this week, too. I haven't bought it yet. I need to go buy it. I need to go buy ETB or something.
I pre-ordered the Charizard EX tin for like $20, and I'm like, great.
Good for you. Yeah, that's good for you. That's actually very good.
Because, well, granted, I don't have any Charizards, and I'm like, all right, if for some reason I decide to ever want to play it, one, the price is dropping of Charizard, which is really nice.
So. The card looks good, too. Like, even if they had, like, the not shiny version,
exactly,
it would have been so, like, that art is actually really solid.
I would say, like, the only thing you need from the set, I think there's, like, a handful of cards you want that are new, that are worth it. Whereas here I am chasing the shiny Oddish.
Yeah. I totally get it. All right. Well, this is a good place to wrap up. We have some news to talk about, so let's go ahead and cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about. First of all, there's an editor for the Video Games Chronicle, and he claims to have some insider knowledge about TPC somehow, some way. But he says that they are taking the response to Scarlet and Violet very seriously and acting on it for future production. I think that actually kind of jives with what they've discussed before as well. I think they've said that they like know the comments and they're very aware of the reception of the game. I mean, that kind of leads into the next point we have as well, because PAL World came out, and I don't know if anybody's been on social media, but Pokemon fans can't shut up about how PAL World is just stealing Pokemon designs, which I don't
and
really want.
PAL World fans can't shut up about how Pokemon is terrible. It's a fun time.
It's really positive. It's really positive and reinforcing and makes me really enjoy being part of the community. And
yeah, it makes everyone look good and is a sign of how the internet brings people together.
Exactly. TPCI actually made a statement to the community to pretty much just tell them to please stop asking us about PAL World. We're aware in just technical terms, which is fine. I mean, I didn't expect them to do anything. PAL World was announced like 3 years ago. If they wanted to do something, I think they could have done something.
Yeah.
Honestly, the creators of Ark should be more upset, I think, than Pokemon, in all honesty. So
if they had a case, they would have made it by now.
Yeah.
This is their way of saying, hey, shut up.
Please
stop.
This is what
the interns, the law interns are doing.
Well,
they'll figure out how to fix this.
They decided they were going to, I mean, the thing is people were just like asking them for comment the whole weekend, I'm sure, after PAL World dropped. And they're just like, why would we respond to this? Like, why would we? They didn't even mention PAL World. Yeah, like they get nothing out of it. So they just want to be left alone about it. Right. I'm sure if like it continues to see success, which, honestly, like in this day and age, I don't know that we'll see where like in a month from now, people are still like super hype about PAL World. I mean, I just noticed this, especially like post COVID, like we just kind of get into like, this is the hot video game this month type deal on social media. And like, that's the one you just see all the time. Like that was the case when like Animal Crossing came out. And it happens even with Pokemon to an extent. And it's just like, here's the game. That's the new hotness, you know, this month.
What's it called? The roadmap leaked, and there's no major updates for long enough, I think, that interest will just die.
Yeah,
it'll crash.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then in 2 years, we'll get all of these annoying think pieces about how did PAL World squander the biggest launch ever?
Yeah, exactly. I remember like all throughout the years, the number of times that people have brought up games that are just the ones that are going to end Pokemon or take the crown from Pokemon for like a monster catcher. And I just don't see it happening, right? Like, I just don't. It doesn't happen. Like, Pokemon, like, for better or for worse, is too big to fail, I feel like, to some extent. Like, the brand recognition alone is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Pal World might have the game, right? But Pokemon doesn't... I wouldn't say that Pokemon's claim to fame right now, or honestly ever, has been just the video game.
No, right? It's been the whole brand.
Yeah, where's the Pal World anime? Where's the Pal World plushies? Where's the Pal World...
TCG.
Yeah, TCG. Where's TCG. The Pal, where's the Pal World early 2000s songs, you know? And I don't have a Pal World album.
Until
okay,
they get a single by Vitamin C, Pal World right? cannot have been said
exactly.
to
be exactly.
Oh my God. speaking of Pokemon video games not having everything, maybe we'll get that update soon.
Right?
Scarlet and Violet news.
Yes.
Or lack thereof.
So, yeah. So with Scarlet and Violet, we've received the official artwork for the rest of the DLC Pokemon. Ogerpon, Hydrapple, Iron Boulder, and Gouging Fire.
Yep.
yeah, maybe they'll finally fix the cloning glitch as well, but probably not.
Probably
I didn't even know there was a cloning glitch until this news
yeah. talk. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Also, this year's first IC is next weekend. Playing three battles in it gets you an ability patch and a gold bottle cap. And if you're good, you can earn some championship points. That's gonna plan it.
Maybe I should for stream, if anything. Like, I'm not, my VG skills are not as good as they once were. I could try though. Like, this format's actually very fun. I do actually really like Regulation F. I think it's a really fun format, but I would say that I'm probably not anywhere near the peak that I was at, you know, 5 years ago.
That's fair.
I guess six now. Yeah, it was like 6 years ago that I would say like I was at my VGC peak.
You were at your VGC peak.
Yeah.
Anyways, Smogon recently decided to ban moves that 100% would cause sleep.
Really? So, they just banned like Spore.
So, mm-hmm. Spore, Sleep Powder, Hypnosis,
Sing.
I think it's Sing. Grass Whistle. Yeah. Anything that's guaranteed to only cause sleep is...
Really? They just, like, banned sleep, essentially.
No, they didn't just... I mean, like, they still have Dire Claw, which can cause sleep, Relic sure. Song, which can cause sleep, and then they kept Rest in there because it's yourself. But
yeah.
I think the reasoning is because of the randomness of... Sleep turns.
Sleep turns aren't that bad now, though, but that's fine.
There are a couple reasons. I don't know a ton about this, but I know a little bit more.
I would love to hear anybody's thoughts, because, like, in my mind, I'm like, it's three turns now. It's not that, like, I'm still of, like, Gen 4 mind, where this is, like, five turns of nonsense.
So the two biggest reasons are there are now sleep abusers in OU,
mm-hmm.
Where it's been... a thing that can happen before, now it is a thing that is routinely happening.
Okay.
And that just feels significantly more oppressive.
I can see that.
The second thing is it's actually moved so that Showdown and Cart get closer together, because Sleep Clause is unenforceable on Cart.
Mm-hmm.
To the same degree that happens in Showdown. Like, you can Gentleman's, absolutely, but that... doesn't mean that there are legitimate things that can happen that cause Sleep Clause as they want it to be implemented to not be functional. So to avoid that as well and make the games slightly more playable on Cart, it's easier just to ban the moves than to have complex rules about what can and can't happen with them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually... kind of agree with that. It makes the simulator part of Showdown anything
more
that
simulator.
Removes abstractions and makes this something you could play with your friends with your team, I think is a good change. But I don't know how I feel about this altogether. I have not been playing OU enough to get a sense of if sleep is actually oppressive, or if people are just whining and banning the thing that they don't like, which happened a lot this gen.
I know they gave a whole reason for why they did it. I didn't read it because I didn't care.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting to me.
And in the wake of that, they're now suspecting Kirim, okay. Which I'm surprised has lasted as long as it has.
Yeah, that's fine.
They gave it Dragon Dance. They gave it Scale Shot.
Yeah,
This
is the first gen where I think like I've seen the power creep be like real. You know, like Gen 7, Gen 7 had some good power. Had some real power creep.
All right. So if we're talking power creep, Gen 5.
Oh, Gen 5?
Gen 5 was miserable with power creep. Gen 6 added in Megas, which was its own power creep.
Megas and I think Fairy-type like helped balance it a little bit. Fairy-type definitely helped balance it.
Gen 7 brought in the terrain power.
Yeah. It was mostly the Tapus from Gen 7, I would say. Like, mostly Tapus.
Mostly Tapus. And some other stuff. And then it's Gen 8, you just have a lot of really, really good mons. And then Gen 9 is a lot of really, really, really good mons. I think most of the Paradox Pokemon are really strong.
And this just might be like Old Man Yells at Cloud 2, because I might be sitting here being like, oh man, pretty much Gen 6 OU is just UU now. And
yep.
I'm just like, it might just be
Gen
Old Man
6
Yells
pre-bank
at Cloud.
Or bust.
Dude, I love Gen 6 pre-bank.
We should run a tournament of just Gen 6 pre-bank.
On our Gen 6 cards.
The thing that, to me, most defines the difference in power creep this time is the creation of UUbers.
Yeah.
Which is the fact that they're like, no, there were so many cool Pokemon that got banned out of OU but aren't good enough at Ubers that we need another floor. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's telling.
Yeah, but I love UUbers. I think it's such a cool format.
No, I do. I like it. That is what I would consider the true OU. It's the OU for people who aren't cowards. this is OU if you stop trying to reinvent the Gen 6 OU meta and just let the game evolve.
I'm sorry, do I sound bitter?
I'm bitter.
But then you have, like, my only issue ever with Ubers is that it takes power creep to another level because a lot of things are very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get things like Skeledirge and all the unaware mons that suddenly become so much better in that format than in OU. And that's fine. You know what? That's entirely fine. It's just every Pokemon has its time. Like every once in a while, we will suddenly see Quagsire jump up to OU because someone's running on a team and it's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
So it all moves around.
Yeah. Well, what's next? What else we got, Claude? Is that everything? Oh, that's everything.
That's it for me. We're on to Go. And
we're on to Go.
Yeah,
you know what happens in Pokemon Go? Community
Nothing.
Days.
Oh.
They ask for your money so you can actually participate in an event. I mean, but yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Chansey Community Day is next weekend. So, you know, get your Chanseys.
Hey, that's fine. I mean, they're like running out of what to do for Community Day, I feel like, to some extent.
Yeah. And Lunar New Year is running February 5th through 11th and adds Drampa to the game. And that's actually a good one. Get Drampa. He's cool.
I heard that required a pass to actually get him. Let me look that up, though.
That's not good.
Maybe I'm misremembering.
No, I think that would just be like an added encounter.
Potentially. That might be what it is. I know they've done some weird things, though, but I could very well be wrong. Cool. And then I guess some TCG, right?
Yep.
Paldean Fates. We kind of talked about it, but we talked about it in between segments. That's out.
Yeah. It's got a bunch of shinies in it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not very good as far as like meta cards, as far as I'm aware. It's just pretty.
Yeah. There's like a couple cards that might be worth picking up out of it, but nowhere near like, Paradox Rift. Where like Paradox Rift had a ton of cards. I think there's only like actually 90 cards in the actual set, and then the rest of it is just shinies.
So as far as the new cards, I can list them all, at least from what I'm seeing.
The ones that matter, you mean? Or
Yeah, the ones that matter are the Charmeleon.
Yeah.
But potentially Atticus, potentially the Espathra line if control that becomes popular.
Yeah.
Moonlit Hill, I think Crisis Punch, and the new TM, unless that is the TM.
Is it Crisis Punch? I don't remember. It's fine.
I'm just looking at something that we put in chat, and I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, there's not too much in there, I don't think. So I honestly wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, but...
All right. Well, there we go. There you have it, kids. Now, I guess we'll end this segment like we always do with Puckle's Pokey Opinion.
Whoa. We're missing Puckle News.
Puckle News, the survey's up. Oh, yeah, and UUTC signups are going
until next week. Yeah, sign up for the UTC.
That's true.
Check out our Sigma's ad.
Yeah. There's still the survey. If we hit 150 responses, Thatch gives a Power Rangers history lecture on Twitch, and you guys all want that, apparently, according to the survey.
I do real bad.
Yeah, I'll just give a, it's gonna be, you know what's really bad is like, I have done like versions of this already to other people, probably against their will to some extent. And, I think,
Thatch, I know, I've driven you around.
Yes.
Oh, no.
And it's like, it could end up being like an hour, 2 hour long lecture. I really want people there to ask questions though. You know, if I do it so I can answer questions, because the Power Rangers lore is ridiculous and makes no sense. All right. So now it's Puckle's Pokey Opinion. It's been 2 years. What are your current favorite and least favorite Hisuian Pokemon? Like, I know the answer for Lydian. Like, I don't have to.
Well, you know my favorite, but what's my least favorite, Thatch?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a good question. Goodra? Goodra's okay.
Goodra's fine. No, my favorite is, the audience, definitely Sneasler.
Yes, that's true.
It's very good, and it's been my draft mascot ever since I moved.
Yeah. My favorite's probably that's a good question, actually. Because there's not that many Hisuian Pokemon either.
Let's say there's only like, maybe like 15?
Yeah, there's not that many. So like
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18.
Do I even run any of them? Like, I think Basculation's cool. Like, they're all fine. Like, they're all like, most of them are like above average. I do really have a fondness though for like Hisuian Voltorb. Like, I think the design is just neat.
Oh, I don't even see Basculation on here. It's
technically not his. Well, in the TCG, they would call it like Hisuian Basculation, but
I would consider those, even though you can get them.
Yeah.
All right, then I guess for mine, I will say my favorite, and I this is tough. I've learned to like a lot of these. I think just off of design, I really like Hisuian Typhlosion.
Oh, that's true. That's a good choice. That's a good choice, actually.
Not when it's sitting there, like, dim, but, like, when it's full on fire. I really like that. I'm also a huge fan of Hisuian Arcanine, but I think my least favorite has to be Braviary. I don't like Hisuian Braviary.
Hisuian Braviary is fine. I just don't, like, that was the one that, that's probably the one where I'm just like, why did this need to happen, you know? No. The worst one is not Hisuian Braviary, though. The worst one is Hisuian Avalug.
I like Avalug, though, so I don't care.
Hisuian Avalug's the worst one. Like, that was definitely like a, we didn't need this.
I think my least favorite is not even close. It is the Dialga that swallowed a Kia Optima.
I don't know that I would call that a Hisuian form, but I'll allow it.
If that one doesn't count, then I guess Overquill, I just don't get it.
It doesn't
make sense.
Right? It didn't need to happen, right?
It's just fine. It's not terrible, but no, I truly hate Origin Dialga. It just looks bad.
My honest opinion with the only gripe that I really have with Legends Arceus, because I think it's a fun game and it's a very nice spin on like the traditional Pokemon format. And I think any Pokemon game where you can enhance like the need to catch things is just a good experience.
True.
I think Legends did a fantastic job, and that's why it was so good, because the catching aspect, one, you had a lot of reasons to catch multiple of certain Pokemon. And two, they just made catching feel good. And honestly, their battle system kind of de-incentivized doing battles at all.
I hated the battle system so much. It was so bad. Yeah. I wanted to cry. Yeah.
Please just, like, honestly, if they gave us a game with the traditional battle system, like a traditional Pokemon battle system and that type of catching, I think it would just go over so well.
I think it would, too.
I think it would just be fine. It would be one of the best Pokemon actually. Games. Yeah, it would be one of the best Pokemon games, like hands down. I like the number of people that
Gen 10 confirmed. Gen 10 confirmed.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised if like the next mainline, like the next like gen of Pokemon does that, because it's, the number of people that
it's gonna be Legends Arceus base with the battle system of Gen 9.
Yeah, I think that's honestly what needs to happen.
I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I would love another Legends game just because Legends Arceus is so good. Like, that's the one game that one Pokemon game that I love to replay is Legends Arceus. Like, I love replaying it.
That's the one game I'm like, I can't go back and bring myself to replay it.
Oh, I love replaying it. It just feels so good. I want another one so bad. I really hope that we get another one just to experience that again. But we'll end that here. This is the new segment. We don't need any more of that. So with that, we're going to head on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to the Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction, Mark. We're going to jump right on into it. Our first question is going to come to you from Anjur. I was definitely told how to say this in Discord, and I don't remember. So, in which main series game with searchable trash cans are there no items to be found in any of them?
What?
Yeah.
All right. In games with searchable trash cans?
Which main series games with searchable trash cans are there no items to be found in any of the trash cans?
I know, black and white had leftovers in one.
It's not Gen 1, Gen 2.
It's
because the SSN had it in both.
I know it's not Gen 3. It's not Gen 5. It could be 4. It could be 6.
Now, when you say Gen 4, are we referring to both HeartGold, SoulSilver Gen 4 or Sinnoh Gen 4? Because HeartGold, SoulSilver had it.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm guessing hard on this, and I think it's going to have to be later than Gen 5, because if they had it after that, I don't think they would have a game without it and then put an item in it.
Correct. I think they just wouldn't do it, and it might be like Gen 7?
Or maybe it's Gen 6. Search trash cans in Gen 7.
I think it might be Gen 6.
It's either Gen 6 or Gen 7, because I know Gen 8 you couldn't even search trash cans, and Gen 9 the same.
So can you search them in Gen... I know you could search them in Gen 6. I don't know if you can search them in Gen 7.
I have no idea. I'm going to say Gen 6. I think that's the most reasonable...
I'm going to go with you on that. I think Gen 6.
Because I think Gen 6 is absolutely the kind of generation where they would still have included the message because they know players are going to do it, even if payoff.
Wait 1 second, though.
Gen 6, final answer.
Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. Could you search the trash cans in those games?
Probably. I'm going to level with you. I have no idea.
All right, let's just go Gen 6 and hope for the best.
Gen 6... is unfortunately incorrect, at least according to the trivia I have here. Apparently the answer is only, it's not Gold and Silver, but Heart Gold and Soul Silver. They took the items out of the trash cans.
I don't believe you.
You can. This is information I've been given through the trivia channel, so if you can prove me wrong,
yeah,
I will give you the point.
I guarantee you can, in the SSN on Gen Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Let's look. Let's look this up live.
Okay.
SSN, HeartGold.
I could have sworn they had that.
We're gonna take a look. It's not the SSN, it's the SS Aqua. I don't think the SSN is, but you're saying that there are items in the trash can.
I could have sworn there were.
Yeah, we're gonna find out. We will find out. I think in HeartGold, SoulSilver, though, they change it. I don't. Where in gold and silver? What do you get in the trash can on gold and silver?
Well, because you can. I figured it was the same thing. The SSN or the SS Aqua used to be able to find items in the ship. I could have swore, but I could be wrong.
I think you are actually.
I guess I'm wrong.
I think that's you're funny. Actually wrong, unfortunately. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the answer and say you unfortunately got that one incorrect. All right. Our next question, though, is going to come to you from G. McPee. In Pokken Tournament DX, who is the only playable character that is also a support Pokemon?
Krogunk.
Yep.
Krogunk is correct. There you go. You got that pretty quick. Yeah, that is correct. All right. Well, you're 1-for-2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. We're going to get this one from Chief Pancake. And Chief Pancake says, it's Pokemon Sun Pokedex entry states, its high intelligence enables it to comprehend human speech. When it's in a good mood, it sings in its beautiful voice. Who's that Pokemon?
Primarina?
Primarina makes the most sense for Sun. Yeah.
With the beautiful voice and being smart enough.
Other option would be Lapras.
Ooh.
Just because I know Lapras is in those games.
I think it might have been added in the Ultra, but...
I thought it was in the games.
I thought it was a rising Pokemon.
Lapras is smarter than Primarina. Like, its intelligence was noted a lot. It used to get a lot of the dolphin treatment.
It's because it's also supposed to be a Pokemon that used to be able to travel. So it's like, oh, we need to go to this area. And it would be like, Lapras! And then they would start going in that direction and know where to go.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say Lapras with you.
I think Lapras makes more sense, yeah.
Is Lapras what you're going to go with? All right.
Lapras. Yeah, let's do it.
Lapras is correct. You got 2 points for that one. The extra entry we had was from Pokemon Moon, saying these Pokemon were once near extinction due to poaching. Following protective regulations, there's now an overabundance of them. It's like deer.
I heard what that means, folks. Lapras is back on the menu.
I would have gone Walrein at that point for the tusks.
All right. Your next question is your multiple answer question. You guys are 3-for-3. You guys have a chance for 3 points on this question. There are, it looks like 9 answers to this question. So, I'm going to say every 2 of them you give me, you get a point. So I only really need 6. If you get all 9, good for you. This is about the new move Dragon Cheer that was introduced in the Indigo Disc. In Scarlet and Violet, who are the 9 fully evolved non-dragon type Pokemon that can learn the move Dragon Cheer?
Mew is one of them.
Mew, yep. I was gonna say, does that mean that Smeargle can learn it? I mean, maybe.
I think we're gonna say learn the move traditionally, like through TM.
Ah, okay. Ampharos, because it's a larger type and usually gets all the dragon moves.
You do have to lock them in. So one sec. Let's start with Mew, right? Mew is unfortunately actually incorrect. It does not get Dragon Cheer.
Then it's not on the list, and that list is wrong. Mew can learn it. It's a TM. Mew can learn every TM.
I'm going to tell you on Dragon Cheer. Mew is in Scarlet and Violet. Let me look real quick to verify. But looking at the learn set of Dragon Cheer on Bulbapedia, Mew is not on it.
I would like to challenge that as well.
No, I refuse. Bulbapedia is disagree. Wrong.
Yeah.
Then Bulbapedia is wrong. I will check Serebii then, if that makes you feel better, and we will go
yes,
there.
Yes, it does, because I know I'm right.
Yeah, I know Lydian's right as well.
I also, because everyone would have been screaming it from the rooftops if there was TM that Mew couldn't learn.
Yeah, pull up Showdown and look at Mew.
I'm not pulling up Showdown. I'm going to pull up Dragon Cheer. I'm going to pull up Dragon Cheer, and we're on Serebii, and we're going to take a look. We're going to see if Bulbapedia is wrong. Bulbapedia is wrong. You are correct. You get you can lock that in. We'll give you that one. So there's technically 10, but I still only need 6.
Well, we'll see about that. I don't trust your list anymore.
I don't trust my list anymore either.
Because my next one's gonna be Ampharos.
Ampharos is on my list, so that is correct. That is correct.
Okay. What about Charizard? If Ampharos is on the list, do you think Sceptile is on the list?
I would say Sceptile and Charizard are my other two.
Those are both on my list as well, so those, right. That is
but
correct.
But who knows?
But right, who knows now?
Dragon
yeah.
That's canonically a dragon. How many that's we get? That's four? Gyarados. That's four.
Gyarados is also on that list. Yes, that is
great,
five.
Cool. What about Lapras? Just
are you going to do it? Are you going to say Lapras?
I'm going to say Lapras.
Lapras is also on this list. It's also on this list. That gives you you six. That gives you six. So that's all the points.
Yeah, but I'm not done yet.
Yeah, for some reason, Mew's not on this list, and I don't know why how that
Let's
one was
see.
Missed.
Based on the theme we're going with, does Milotic fit that as kind of like a snake? Because a lot of snakes get dragon types.
Milotic does, yeah. Milotic is on the
and
list.
And then I'm going to slam dunk at least the last one, because this was on my team when I was trying to evolve a Hydrapple, so I know it can do it. Rampardos.
Rampardos
can.
Can
learn it?
Yeah, Rampardos can.
Oh my god.
I didn't know that. There's still two more that are not dragon types that can, but they are Iron Jugulus and Salazzle. And Salazzle.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, we need to take a look at our trivia checks. Mew is on there, but not on the list. So, all right, we are going to go ahead and get you to the next. It's probably because I stole it from Bulbapedia, which for some reason was wrong.
That's weird.
Yeah, Bulbapedia is usually not that wrong. So I am shocked.
You're
right. They'd be shouting it from the rooftops if Mew couldn't learn it. You are absolutely correct. All right. Well, your last question, as always, is your base stat entry question. You have 6 points. You have missed one, so you do not get the point for the hint. And we are going to go ahead and give you this question from Liger himself. What unburdened Pokemon has the highest base speed of any Pokemon with the unburdened ability?
The bug, a Celgor. I'm almost positive it's a Celgor.
You locking that in? Are you happy with that?
I'm like, a Celgor.
If Celgor has that, then it is absolutely the highest.
Oh, 100% has unburdened.
Okay.
It's a hidden ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else that has unburdened that would be higher at 145 base speed. But I'll take the hint just to make sure I'm right.
It's a bug type Pokemon.
It's a bug type Pokemon. Gosh. Yeah. What do you know?
Yeah, right.
Ninjas doesn't get it by chance, right?
I don't think
no,
so.
It does not. It gets speed boost, and I don't Something? Know, but it's not this.
Okay. Does Ninjas get not speed boost?
I don't actually know. I think it might not just because Ninjask.
It definitely does.
We're going to look this up, actually. What's Ninjask's hidden ability?
Well, first off, were we right?
Were we right with a slower?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Base 145. That gives you 7. It's Infiltrator as its hidden ability.
That tracks now.
But yeah, you guys got 7 points there. Next up is actually Sneasler and Sceptile at 120. Then Hawlucha at 118, followed by Grafaii at 110.
I knew Sneasler was tied with Sceptile, and I'm like, surely nothing can beat that, and Thatch just had a second wrong question.
Yeah, it's no, very possible. Nothing's for certain anymore.
No. I did something crazy with a Celgor with Unburdened before in draft, and it was fun. With, like, Throat Spray. It was, like, Throat Spray, Bug Buzz, or something crazy like that, or some weird thing. And I had fun with it.
All right, so that's 7 points. That's 7 points for you guys this week.
Yes, 7 points.
In first place now, we've got Claude9 with 14.
Woohoo!
Followed up by Whimsicott and Seth Bilo, tied for second with 8. Followed up by Jushir and Linian, tied for fourth with 7. And then followed up by R Sigma and Shark, tied with 6. Everybody else has yet to get on the board.
Yeah, I think I'm off for a month, though, so...
Oh, man, they're going to catch you. I mean, it is a race to 40, so it has been taking, like, 6-plus months to get there, so you have time, Claude.
No, I've decided I'm going to win this year.
You're going to win this year. Do it.
I'm going to win.
Do it.
I'm going to make it happen.
We should make it a gross amount of points and offer, like, a really big prize at some point. But, all right, that is going to be it. We are going to kick it on over to our topic. If you want more PokeQuiz, tune in next week. But until then, like I said, to the topic. We have another review from Fat Pat 1988. It slaps. I began listening to the podcast back in Gen 5 right before X and Y released. At the time, it was okay. Fell out of Pokemon for a bit around Gen 7 and only recently came back. I came back to the podcast as well, and I have to say, they have really grown into something spectacular. I thoroughly enjoy the structure and content of the show. At this point, in my opinion, it is easily one of the best Pokemon podcasts out there. Well, thank you, FatPat1988. And if you have a review, please drop it wherever you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. It helps people find the show. But until next time, let's move on to the topic.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to our topic. Our topic today is incendiary. We have Pokemon fans are wrong. So this is essentially hot takes of the Pokemon franchise and things that you guys might think that everybody agrees with, but we do not.
Yeah, recent events have had me wanted me to shout at the Pokemon fans for a prolonged time, so I'm taking a chance.
And we're going to start off with the hottest take of all. Fearow needs more love. No one gives Fearow the love that he deserves.
Is that a hot take?
As a beautiful... no. Yes, no one likes Fearow.
I think Fearow's fine.
It's gotten absolutely no love.
Fearow is absolutely extremely popular with people who would put, you know, Dragonite and Garchomp on the best dragons list.
Dragonite belongs there. I think, actually, those two aren't the ones I take a problem with.
Fearow has gotten no love, is not in the current, has not been in the game for a while.
That's true.
Doesn't even learn Brave Bird. Out of the normal flying types they've created, they've just given no love to Fearow.
Fearow does need something, actually. I agree with this. Fearow needs some love. I know this was a joke, but I agree with this.
Sorry. It was a joke, but it was kind of fun. It also has an absolute garbage shiny. Like, it's disgustingly...
Can I say that Pokemon Colosseum is a bad game?
You are wrong, but you could say it.
Yeah, this is a safe space.
I think it's a bad game. I think most people who think it's a good game are wearing rose-colored glasses.
I'm wearing glasses, but not rose-colored glasses.
I think they were good games in 2003. I do not think they are good games now.
I love the games. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're allowed to be wrong.
No, Thatch is allowed to be wrong. What are you talking about?
They are just so bad to play.
Why?
XD removed a lot of the things in Colosseum that drive me crazy, like extremely long content that doesn't really do much.
Gen 3!
Okay, I can give you that Colosseum was worse than XD.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. But XD, I think, fixes most of the problems. I don't want to say all of the problems.
You're right. And the game itself is very, you know, there are flaws to the game. I will, you know, have to acknowledge that.
I do think also...
The fact that the only way to grind is through the battle tower, or the battle...
Okay, but also tell me how long it takes to purify, like, Metagross or any of the legendary dogs. And remember that you can't trade out of the game until you purify all of the Pokemon.
Alright, so which method do you want? Do you want the... You go buy the little incenses and give them the incenses? You also get one free instant, purification button.
Yeah, one.
You get one. I just named four Pokemon.
Yeah, but you can just buy the incenses and just, you know, put them on the Pokemon.
The money is not, like, that, like, readily available in the game.
No, and there's not ways to grind it either, other than the extremely long and extremely difficult Colosseums.
No, you have the whole, you have the tower.
It also has some of the worst level scaling I've seen, where they're like, hey, do this thing, 60s.
The tower takes so long. Mount Battle takes so long.
Yeah, Mount Battle, that's it.
Mount Battle takes so long. Like, the time commitment is very long.
Oh, it is absolutely awful. I will not give you... I will be the first to say that.
That's what I just said. I just said the game is bad. I said it's awful.
It also has some of the worst localization of any first-party Nintendo game. Like, it's actually terrible.
Yeah, the gameplay is just, like, very long and not fun. Like, I think the concept of the game is very interesting and fun. I think that nowadays, like, if you go back and play it, it is a grind and a slog. When I was...
Yes, it is a grind.
When I was a 10, 12-year-old kid, like, that's fine, because I have time to do that. That's my life. And honestly, a game that does that is very good for your parents, because they only have to buy you one game for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like going back to it now, it's very hard for me to be like, oh, yes, I can't wait to sit down and grind out the entirety of Pokemon Colosseum.
See, now I feel like I have to do this on stream and just rush through the whole thing. Granted, I'm going to play it on speed up, though, and it's not going to feel that bad.
No. You can't. You are not allowed to play it on speed up. You are not allowed to play it on speed up. If you're
trying to prove a point.
If you can play through Pokemon.
I would have to connect my Wii, and I'd have to, like, stream my Wii playing it.
That's fine with me. I'm all for it.
You want to suffer, you can suffer.
Yeah, no, I want you to do it, and then afterwards, look me in the eyes, and then tell me that it is a fun game that you really enjoyed and didn't take too long.
I'm gonna say it's a fun game, I really enjoyed it, but it did take too long is the problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
another quick hot take. Hardcore mode and things like that are not good ideas for the base games. If you are going, Pokemon games are too easy, you're probably right. You're just not 10 anymore. Play a game for adults.
Whoa, all right. Can you explain what do you mean by hardcore games are not worth it? What do you mean?
No, not hardcore games. Like, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Linian. What you're saying is the number of people who, like, ask for, like, a hardcore mode to be installed into a Pokemon game, like...
Yeah, either something with higher levels, diminished EXP, Nuzlocke rules in the cart. No, I think that these people just need to play other video games if they want hard RPGs. This is not...
So, a fun part is, Pokemon did that once!
Go play Persona. You'd like Persona. Everything you like that you're trying to do with Pokemon, you can do in Persona. Just chill a bit.
No, to Claude's point, they did do it once with Black and White 2, right?
Yeah, and it was bad, because you had to beat the game, you had to then, you unlocked easy mode on some games, and...
Mm-hmm. No, the way they did it was very bad.
Easy mode.
And they did it for a reason that I think people just, they just treat as a non-factor. They're like, well, kids will obviously play on normal or easy. It's like, no, they won't. They'll play on whatever they think they can handle, and then feel upset when they can't.
I think the idea, I mean, I like the idea of, like, a new game plus, if that makes sense, which kind of was what hard mode was supposed to be, but it was done and implemented so poorly that you can't really do it.
And I don't know how you do it. Like, look me in the eyes and say that a new game plus on any game after Gen 7 is something you would, after finishing it, love to dive into.
In Scarlet and Violet, maybe, actually.
Yeah, okay. You want to go through all of the cutscenes again? I did it recently, and it sucked. And I love Gen 7, and I would not want to do that again immediately after finishing it.
Scarlet and Violet is Gen 9.
No, I didn't say Gen 7. That's Gen 9. I said Gen 9.
No, I know. I have done it in Scarlet and Violet. And I said, if you go back even to something like Gen 7, which has less in the opening...
No. There's definitely, like... I don't know. The opening to Scarlet and Violet is not as egregious, in my opinion, because you have a little bit more freedom.
It's getting through the school, like...
Yeah.
Ugh.
Once you hit the school, it's a solid 25 minutes of unskippable cutscene.
It's okay.
Regardless, I just don't...
It's better than Sun and Moon, that's for sure.
The issue that I have with a lot of this stuff is that it ends up trying to force Pokemon into something... And I just think people would be happier playing other games for those kinds of things. That's not what Pokemon is built for, and you lose a lot if that is your goal.
If you want to play a hard Pokemon game, you can just impose harder rules on the game yourself.
Well, so...
You do not need to make the game harder. You can just make it harder for yourself.
I along that that line, I really do hate when people complain that it's hard to, like, establish, like, the traditional Nuzlocke rules on something like Scarlet and Violet, or even Sword and Shield. The one that really got me was when Legends Arceus came out, and people are just like, how do I Nuzlocke this? I'm like, well, I don't think that's the point of the game, is to immediately figure out how to Nuzlocke a game that wasn't designed for Nuzlockes in the first place.
The game would be worse if they were trying to accommodate fan rule sets instead of just making the best game possible.
I'm not a big fan of that.
There's many different ways to, you know, play the game, and I've seen different ways people do it for Scarlet and Violet. It's just a matter of what you want to do and what you think is fun and fair.
No, I agree with you.
The problem with Scarlet and Violet Nuzlocke is the fact that Fuecoco is the best starter in the entire game they've ever created for a Nuzlocke because of Torch Song.
I mean, I don't like, that's not anything that bothers me. If I'm going to Nuzlocke a Pokemon game anyway, it's just going to be an older one or a ROM hack. Like, I think ROM hacks are, like, a great way to go too. Like, if you really want that, you should just go look for a ROM hack.
Yeah.
Like you did with Radical Red. Like, I think that's very reasonable. That also addresses, like, the difficulty issue as well. Like, it's a different type of Pokemon challenge.
Or do a challenge run. You know, like, you can impose your own rules on the normal base game. Hey, you're struggling with Scarlet and Violet? Try beating the whole game with just a Paldean Wooper.
I mean, you could do that, which is, I don't know. Like, I think that says something about the game.
I did see, I don't think you could do it with a Paldean Wooper, because Fuecoco is much better and it can very barely do it. At level 100.
Oh, okay. So then you need two Paldean Woopers. Sorry.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, two Paldean Woopers, you could probably beat the game. It would still be hard.
Yeah, but that's a challenge for you. Great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right, that's my next challenge. It'll be three. I'll get three so I can do all the events.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I like how every time we say something mildly controversial, Claude takes it as a challenge. So all we have to do is keep listing this, and we'll have stream content for years.
I'm not actually gonna do it. It was a joke.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, he's already gonna play Pokemon if he actually plays Pokemon Colosseum on stream, like, that is just years, like, I think.
No.
Like, that is just years.
If I'm doing the best part of Colosseum, which we haven't mentioned, and I think it's actually XD Gale of Darkness, was the battle CDs.
Yes, those were actually very good.
That is only XD Gale of Darkness. That was only, like, XD Gale of Darkness, I do not have many problems with. The only XD Gale of Darkness was a monkey's paw, because we got...
It still doesn't have... You still have the horrible grinding. Let's keep it there. You still have the horrible, horrible grinding.
The grinding isn't as bad, in my opinion, just because, like, at least the purification process, they do, like, semi-automate that. You also get purification much, much earlier in that game as well. Than you do in Colosseum, because Colosseum, you go through, like, half the game before you can even purify a Shadow Pokemon. That's a whole other thing. But what they did that I didn't like, so, like, the concept of Pokemon Colosseum is great. It's gritty. It's a really cool concept of snagging Pokemon. You used to work for the evil team. What a great concept that fell flat on its face in terms of gameplay. So they fix all the gameplay, but now you're a child again. With all these goofy concepts, and I'm like, man, we just need to, like, take the good parts of both of these and make them kiss.
Hey, that's...
You know, like, if you're a former villain, there's only so much the Pokemon game is going to be willing to do.
I know. I want actual footage of the Team Plasma Grunts kicking that Munna, okay? That's what I want.
Well, who knows when...
They're gonna make an announcement at Pokemon Day about Colosseum... Two.
Absolutely not gonna happen at all.
Hey, I it's my hot take, it's gonna happen.
I just want the trailer for the remake of Black and White, if that is what's coming out, to be just those two grunts kicking the Munna back and forth as the title card slowly fades in.
I'm into it. Black and White did such a good job of making villains that might have been correct that they had to show that they were actually evil by just having a scene where they're, like, essentially beating up a Pokemon. To be like, no, these guys are the bad guys, we promise.
You know what? Actual hot take. Everyone says Gen 5's story is great. It's not. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's... You're right. It's acceptable.
All of the... There is exactly one interesting character, and it's who they pretend N is. N as a character does not even have enough dialogue to be interesting. But the implication of the character is interesting enough that people invent the cool parts of the story.
Well, I think that's intentional to some extent.
The normal storyline of Pokemon is very basic and not very good.
Like, I think there are two games with a decent, what I would call a decent story outside of Pokemon, and they are 9 and 7.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I guess it depends on what our metric we're using. Like, what's our ruler for this? I personally enjoy the very simple, hey, I'm a kid and I just took down the mafia, like Gen 1, Gen 2, right? Like,
okay, that's fair.
I like that simplicity of a story, like that simple of a story. I'm also just kind of a fan of like being a protagonist who like is just going along their way and accidentally, you know, takes on Team Rocket and beats them up, right? I'm kind of a fan of that.
I want a character arc. And Gen 5 tried to do them, but the characters were so flat that it did not work.
I think it also stumbled because they tried to do the sequel as well.
I don't even think that was that big of a problem, because the sequels don't focus on any of the same characters.
In terms of which characters, I don't know. You get some arcs, right?
But by and large,
you get some stuff for like Sharon. You get a little bit for Bianca. It's nothing to the scale that we got in Gen 9, where we kind of get character arcs. I'm still a little weirded out by Gen 9, where they, like, one, we run into the professor, we get no closure for Arvin. And even in the epilogue, like, Arvin just has, like, zero closure, and he definitely still has some problems, because he's like, this is my best friend, don't you dare touch them. So, like, he obviously has some issues, and we've done nothing to help him with that, by the way. Maybe we'll just lie to him and cause him some PTSD, too, like we did to Kieran. It's fine. Yeah, right? Are we the baddies?
Oh, I hated Kieran. I hated Kieran's entire arc. I thought Kieran was a very badly designed character. That is my...
Yeah, I actually agree with that. Like, I'm not a big fan of Kieran.
I hate the whiny little boy that he is.
Find him whiny? I thought he was... My problem is that his whole arc is predicated on a player decision that you don't actually get to make.
Right.
And I think that the fact that you feel like you personally didn't do anything wrong, the game just pushed you to do something, makes Kieran's understandable anger come off as whiny, because you're like, I didn't even want to do this. Why are you mad at me? I think a lot of it would be fixed by changing the reason he's upset, at least a little bit.
Yeah. I the whole thing with Kieran was done oddly. I don't know. Like, I want to say that the DLC was better this time around, but I feel like Kieran kind of detracts from it. Not Kieran himself, but the storyline for Kieran detracts from it, if that makes sense. Like that's certainly the worst part of it for me.
The worst part of it for me was, like, maybe the Blueberry Academy part of the story. Like, it was still fine enough. I don't think anything that happened in the previous DLC pack, you know, for Crown Tundra even had like a couple of interesting 1 30-second scene versus at least something vaguely resembling a full arc.
That's fair.
I don't know. I would not have been excited for hey, Calyrex is going to talk to you about the Zarude event. Where when I saw Kieran interacting with the other three, I went, oh, I'm glad that all of these characters are here, and I'm interested to see how the dynamic shifts. And I can't say that about any of the other games. Maybe Gen 7? But everyone was already so close. I don't know how they would have done that.
No, you're exactly right. No, I if Gen 7 probably could have pulled that off to some extent. Gen 7's characters were, I don't want to say they were one-dimensional, but they definitely felt shallower.
Yeah, they didn't have any of that the real conflict with it, because they had their personalities were very much given by the plot, and the fact that the story is interesting, I think, carries the weaker characters. Where I think Gen 9 is kind of the opposite, where the plot is pretty thin on the ground, but the characters you get such a good view on and have enough going on beyond just their immediate problems that I still get a lot out of it.
I think characters are better than plot. I think characters are better than plot a lot of the times anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does make Area Zero does come off more as like a set piece in a lot of ways. Like I really wish like Area Zero, don't know. It definitely, I don't want to say it didn't have gravitas, like, especially the first time you went there with everybody, but I don't know if it was because Area Zero is interesting or is because you got to go on an adventure with your friends that made it interesting.
I think it's a combination of both. Here's the real hot take. They could have fixed a lot with the, with how, I really like the ending of Gen 9, but it would have been a 5-minute fix to make it a lot better. Just reference Area Zero as a mysterious place about 5 more times earlier in the story and build up what could possibly be there, and you're done.
Ooh, okay. I think that works actually really well.
That does work pretty well. I don't know. They're like, oh man. The DLC was fun. I don't have too many complaints about it.
Well, do we have another hot take, or should I just jump on people again?
You want to go? I mean, if jump on people again, Linian. I'm
all right. Last big one for me. All the time in the fandom, I hear complaints that go a little something like, "Pokemon is too dependent on RNG. This makes it anti-competitive." Yes, and then no.
I don't know. No. I agree that that's a stupid complaint. It is what Pokemon is. Pokemon's not chess. If it were chess, we would just play chess. And it's exciting because you have that random element in it. Go ahead, Claude.
The randomness is more there than people realize.
Yeah.
Every single attack is a 1 out of 16 roll for something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a random number generator is purposely, implemented into the game for that reason.
Yes. No, it's very fun. I like that the damage is variable. I think that's more realistic anyway. Like, if you were to, like, realism in my Pokemon games, what is this? But it's more realistic that way because, like, the attacks hit differently each time, which, yeah, the game represents very wonderfully. I also think the randomness introduces even more strategy, right? Because you can go high risk, high reward in Pokemon a lot. Like, a very simple explanation of that would be like Fire Blast versus Flamethrower, right? When you're selecting movesets.
There are games where that have tried to do Pokemon removing the RNG. It's called Temtem, and it's why that game has solved meta states.
Yeah, exactly. I you don't want that. Like, you want a chance to do whatever you can with, I don't know. It makes the game more fun. It makes it feel more alive. It really gives you that you can have your own Ash Ketchum complex where you can run around with your Squirtle and still do well. I'm also a big fan of IVs. Everybody's like, oh, Pokemon should just have 31 IVs all the time, or, you know, there's 0 IVs or whatever. I like it because I think it makes Pokemon unique, especially when you're doing like game playthroughs. I do think a lot of the competitive Pokemon community forgets that there are people who play Pokemon not for competitive battling end games.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think a lot of the fandom forgets that. You know what I mean? It turns out 22 million copies and 500 people at a regional are two very different numbers. So I don't know. I feel like people forget that a lot too, and that the game is designed not just for competitive battling in mind at the end game,
mm-hmm.
but rather for in-game challenges as well. So I agree with that. I agree with that take. I don't know. Like, are these hot? I don't know. Maybe they are.
I don't know. All right. Here's a legitimate hot take off that, though. No, everyone who's going, wow, yeah, Battle Factory or Battle Frontier is the best thing in Pokemon. The amount of testing that requires for a small fraction of people to get to engage with, it is a smart cut. It is good that they have cut that for their dev schedule.
I completely understand why it was cut. I do wish we had something like that, like, I don't know, for endgame content. But again, I'm not the normal person. I'm running a Pokemon podcast, and so I usually try to remind myself that I am not the typical Pokemon consumer, because I consume way too much Pokemon content. I play way too much Pokemon compared to the average person, and I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you can have a good time being a fan of different things.
Yes.
But I do think that a lot of Pokemon fans, like, I'm not the only Pokemon fan like this, right? Where I really love Pokemon. And I think a lot of people forget that, like, this harps on the earlier point. I feel like a lot of people forget that they are, that we are probably in the minority of the people enjoying the Pokemon games.
Yeah.
Like, I would argue all three of us are in that boat. Like, we are in the minority of people who ultra love this franchise and game, and we play the game a lot. And I do think we have the awareness, though, to be like, to understand why things are gone. Like, that's what we were just saying with Battle Frontier. It is, in fact, a very smart cut. I only wish they would have cut it.
Like, I've mentioned this on the Discord, but for audience backup, let me just explain the bare minimum that goes into a Battle Frontier. You need let's say you're just remaking one that already exists. So we're gonna not even mention all of the dev time that goes into ideating about four or five new ways of battling. So we're gonna just remake something. That means custom coding rule sets and then streaks and teams for four different locations that all are going to need different and unique assets. On top of that, you've got to debug all of them with all of the strange things that can happen between battling. Something that only gets more complicated as more and more forms get added and more moves and things get stuck. Even something like Dragon Cheer caused weird problems, and that doesn't seem like it's that different. So you've got that plus all of your map testing, all of your balancing to make sure you don't accidentally have unwinnable challenges, on top of a full new currency that you're building. Like, it's a ton of effort. And that's if you're just remaking something. If you're starting from the ground up, you've got to have high level devs, you know, your actual game designer, director kind of types working with this too. To ideate probably six or seven, because some of them aren't going to work, and they're not going to work at a pretty weird state in development.
Yes.
To make about four finalized actual battle modes that then need to be programmed, tested, debugged, and shipped. It's just a ton of effort. It's a lot easier when you're dealing with sprites, which is why they could do it back in Gen 4. And it's a lot easier with simpler mechanics, like, you know, Mega Evolution not being a problem.
Yes. And with all of that, I think the part that could be improved upon without changing much of the other stuff would be the AI of the opponent, of like the trainers, if that makes any sense, or if I just...
It doesn't.
No, because I'm not sure how that tracks with what I was saying.
It doesn't. Never mind. I'll save this for another conversation. Sorry, my mind zoned into one thought.
No, it's fine.
That you said, and then it went to there. I'm like, all right, well, that's where my mind's at.
Happens all the time. It's fine.
I mean, I would love for there to be more options like that, but I understand why it's gone. I think there's an argument, not really an argument. I don't know. Like Pokemon Battle Revolution, I think. Well, one, it was developed by Genius Sonority, which was not Game Freak, so it takes some off their plate. But that was essentially Battle Revolution was essentially just a Battle Frontier.
It was.
And I would be okay with something like that, but I don't know how comfortable Game Freak is handing something like that off. Maybe it's better now since, like, Ilka took over BDSP, for instance.
And maybe not, given how that went.
Yeah, I don't know. BDSP, I think, is... Okay, hot take. BDSP is fine.
It is fine, but the reception is not nothing.
Yeah, BDSP, I think, is one of the best Pokemon games. I will die on that hill. I think BDSP is one of the best Pokemon games. The things that Ilka was allowed to change were done very well. They are some of the most difficult gym leader, like we were talking about difficulty, they are some of the most difficult gym leader fights in Pokemon, mainline Pokemon games.
Gen 4 itself, and I think BDSP specifically had the hardest Cynthia fight at the end.
It's done very well in those regards. And honestly, the battle backgrounds are absolutely stunning and amazing. So... I think BDSP is actually a very good game, and I think it got a lot of hate for no reason.
I think the hate that it got was because it was a direct remake.
Yeah, that's the hate that it got.
The only change was the underground, and...
Yeah, and if only Pokemon the entire time would have said that these were faithful remakes during all of the promotion for the product, which they did. So I think it's more the Pokemon fan base needs to... kind of check their expectations at the door a lot of the times, which they just don't.
There's some of that. There's also the fact that, honestly, the bugs and things were pretty atrocious.
Oh, there were a lot of bad bugs.
The thing is, you either didn't have any bugs and it was just a fine whatever, or you had some pretty bad ones, unlike Gen 9, which ran terribly for everyone.
Yes. Yeah, well, even the... I don't know. It was more of like a rose-colored glasses moment with the bugs as well in BDSP. For myself, because They were very similar to the ones that were in the original Diamond and Pearl. And I was just like, oh, this is, you know, just the same thing again, which is fine.
I'm more upset that they patched it.
Right? I'm sad they fixed it.
Because, like, that was, like, the first couple of days of BDSP had some of the most fun speedrunning,
yeah,
like, that's community true. Out there. Because they were finding new bugs, and it was changing the game drastically, and it was so cool to watch the development of that. And then they released a patch a week later, and the whole game, the whole, like...
Yeah, game. Yeah. It was very fun to see. I do agree with that.
On that note, though, I want to go back to my point that I had before. Hot take is, if Pokemon wants to make a harder game, rather than, you know, changing up a lot of things, all they really have to do is give more characters the stronger AI. Because they have shown...
Are there two different types of AI? Are there more than one? Really? I don't pay attention.
Yeah, there's like three or four at least.
Throughout the game, the trainers you face have different levels of AI.
Okay.
That vary from like random, crazy, and like strong. Where like they can actually, or they, based on what you have and they have implemented that already into the game. But most Pokemon trainers just have a generic AI of like, okay, we're going to do one of these couple set things and that's it, depending on what's in front of us.
Sure.
All they have to do is give more Pokemon more of their trainers the more advanced AI, and suddenly the game becomes more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's like, oh gosh, they're always going to go for a super effective move versus what you have, that makes it, you know, twice as hard as, oh, or, you know, they might switch out more often if they don't see a good matchup.
Yeah, the number of times somebody switches out in AI is very low. So, I mean, amping that up would be great.
Yes, it's very low in normal games. So it's like, if you give them a harder AI, they switch out more often. And there are lots of different videos on how the AI has grown and changed over the years. And some of it's gotten a lot stronger. Like, some of the fights are very difficult based on what they see. And some of them are not. So it's like, it can be stronger and it can be more difficult. And that's an easy way to take the normal game that they're already creating and make it more difficult, is not changing the Pokemon, not changing the levels, change the AI.
I wonder if in testing it comes out exploitable. Because I know for, like, if you know ways to ensure switches, I wonder if there are ways to basically lock the... There are unobvious ways to lock the AI out of attacking, and it's so much harder... That would be a lot harder to test for. I wonder if it's just to try to ensure that nothing bricks.
But that's not going to affect your main... Your average Pokemon player, though.
Well, if it'll cause that for the average Pokemon player, like, I'll give you an example of something that is not intended to be the way something works. In Gen 9, it's extremely easy against, what's her name, Mela, to basically have a fight that she can't win that takes about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Purely by having a Char Cadet, which are extremely, like, players love those Pokemon, they're nearby, and it's likely to not have evolved. But given her specific combination of moves, you're very likely to end up in a position where she has no special attack, so her only thing that can hit Char Cadet for any actual damage is dealing basically nothing. And generally, she just can't touch it. I watched my fiancé get stuck in an hour-long match that he couldn't really win or lose.
Well, I think that's a moveset issue more than anything else.
And I wonder if it was clearly because they just hadn't anticipated this specific outcome. It's fine that it happened, but I'm curious if upping the AI puts it into decision trees where the AI thinks it's perfect, but it doesn't work.
So, yes and no. It is very exploitable the harder the AI is, like, the better the AI is, because it's definitely more exploitable if you know more. It becomes a knowledge game, but your average player is not going to be running through that. I think that's more of an issue with, you know, them not balancing movesets properly.
It's still going to take a lot more testing, because you need to get those movesets balanced.
Of course. It's not a perfect solution, but it's an idea that I think might work, or would help in that scenario. There are other ways, because when I went through Radical Red, it has some very strong AI, and I clearly abused it drastically, because it thinks it's doing the right thing, and I'm like, great, I know what you're going to do because of that, and I can abuse that myself. So, yes, it is abusable, but I think if you just make it slightly more... Like, you give all the trainers the Elite Four AI, suddenly it's, now they're all going to attack you. You're not going to see, you know, little Timmy's Starly going for Growl six turns in a row.
Mm.
Granted, beginning of the game, you may want that. But like, I mean, we're talking a moveset issue. The biggest offender of this is Brawly. Brawly in base, I think in Emerald, Ruby, and Sapphire, all of his Pokemon's only attacking moves are fighting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, he only has fighting type moves. So if you get a Sableye, it cannot hit you. Granted, I think one of the Pokemon has Foresight, but like, that's it. That's all it has. So it's, you know, there are different ways where this becomes good and bad. I have one final hot take on this.
Yeah, I think we'll do that and we'll wrap up from here, but go ahead, Claude.
My final hot take is that Pokemon should not use creators to help test or advertise their game.
They don't really that much.
A little bit, but people talk about, oh, I would love to help do this. Like, no, we should stay as far away from it as possible. Because everyone has differing opinions, and everyone's going to say something different.
Advertise is different to me than test. Yes, you're correct. Especially designing stage.
Sorry, test. I meant test and design. My mistake. Advertise is different.
Oh, for sure.
Advertising less. Go ahead.
Yes. Wrong choice of words. But yeah, you understand.
Yeah, I don't think creators should have input on the design of the game. I like the system now, because... So one, I do think Pokemon fans come up with like a lot of really cool and interesting ideas. And I think that's why a lot of our lore remains very vague, is because Game Freak doesn't want to just like put things in a box, that people might disagree with. So like, that's why I'm very unsurprised like Paradox Pokemon didn't get like a hard, like, this is probably what happened. Like, there are suggestions, but there's never anything that really defines what happened to the, like, what's going on with, you know, the Paradox Pokemon. Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you actually start defining things, or you let creators like in and make decisions about what's going on, I think it gets a lot less fun. I think we also get a lot less surprises too, in all honesty. Like, there's a lot of things I just wouldn't expect from Pokemon that we get all the time. Like, they always surprise me, and I kind of want that. I want that to continue.
I think everyone just has too many opinions.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what this entire episode is, right?
I think there's too many opinions, and everyone needs to cool their jets.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't get upset if they did something differently than what you would propose. I agree with that.
People just need to let things happen as they happen, and then just...
So I think we're going to wrap it up here, then. Of course, and hear what everybody else's hot takes are in the mailbag next week, or if they disagree with us here.
Boy, am I glad I'm not reading the mailbag for next week.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I might.
It's going to be great. But yeah, next time, email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. But until then, we're going to kick it on over, guys, to the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 405, Luxray, the Gleamize Pokemon.
Its Legends Arceus Pokedex entry states, they form packs, each having one male as leader. Legends say that when Luxray's two eyes shimmer with gold, the Pokemon can see through anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Including the lies of the Jedi.
Luxray is a fun Pokemon. It's in the ZU tier, which I've learned today, which is sad.
Yep.
I don't know. Luxray is such a cool Pokemon, and I feel like it deserves better. The number one thing is being an electric type, and its speed tier is kind of garbage. The stats, like, you look at them on paper and it's not terrible. 80 yeah. HP, 120 attack, 79 defense, 95 special attack, 79 special defense, 70 speed, I think, is like where it really takes the hit. Because I think its base stat total is actually pretty close to Arcanine's at 523.
I will say, though, it has an 18 out of 19 for its Pokathlon stats.
Impressive, actually. That is actually
pretty
impressive.
Really good.
Like the only Pokemon that beats it is Sunkern, the legend.
And I think something else. There's a couple of things at 19.
Man, I gotta play HeartGold SoulSilver again. I really need to just do that and just...
Maybe we should Pokathlon stream.
I don't have the time.
I know. I want to do it, though. I want to do it.
Luxray did get something very good lately.
Yeah?
It got Supercell Slam.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Electric High Jump Kick.
It does need those physical electric type moves. Those are nice.
Yep, because it was using wild charge, and that sucks. So
yes, for sure. I mean, Luxray Shiny is even good too. Gosh, it's so good. Luxray, why did they do you dirty, sir?
Oh, I lied. The maximum for Pokéthlon stats are 25.
Oh, never mind.
Never mind. I was wrong.
Well, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, Sunkern is one of the top five with 25.
But there was a Luxray TCG card actually recently that saw some play in Control. Yeah, the Luxray V saw some Control. It was in Mew, and mostly for its double colorless attack, Fang Snipe for 30 damage. Your opponent reveals their hand, and you discard a trainer card you find there. So that was very good for Control and preventing your opponent from playing some supporters. If they have more than one supporter in their hand, you could just kind of take them out and slow them down. It was a neat tech for a while. It has another attack, but nobody's ever going to use it for like two lightning and a colorless for 120. You could do Radiating Pulse, and you discard two energy from this Pokemon, and your opponent's active Pokemon is now paralyzed. That's kind of poop.
I thought it had a really cool Platinum and Heart Gold Soul Silver sprite.
Yeah, those sprites
those are the ones where it used to like flash gold.
They had like an entry animation. Animation. Yeah.
I miss those.
I also kind of miss like Gen 5 sprites in general. Like, I kind of like little animations that made them feel alive.
Yes, you're right. And now they don't do that.
Well, they're not sprites now. They're models.
It's okay.
They do things. I don't know. Like, the movement just like feels a little bit faster. It's not completely natural, but it makes them feel alive in the Gen 5 sprites.
I don't think I love Gen 5 sprites. Useful in Pokemon Go very much.
Would it? I don't know. Like, there's not a lot of things that are good in Pokemon Go. I feel like every time I hear anybody talk about Pokemon Go stuff that is quote unquote good, it's like the same like 20 Pokemon all the time.
Yes, I don't think it's in there.
Yeah, like they have like 800 Pokemon in that game, and they're just like, these 20 though for like the rest of time are good.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess if you want to use Luxray, I think there's two viable-esque ways to run it, granted, and this is just my personal opinion, is either to run an Assault Vest, because it does have decent bulk.
Yeah, it does, actually.
With Intimidate. So Assault Vest gives you options, because you can run like Bolt Switch and then a couple of coverage moves. Or you can do my favorite, which is a fully defensive set with the Intimidate, because it also gets Baby Doll Eyes, which is priority minus one attack. So it can just kind of like sit there with that.
Wait, Baby Doll's Eyes is priority?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know. How did I not know this for years?
I believe it's plus one priority. Yeah.
I didn't know this. How did I not know this?
So it can lower the attack by one stage before it even attacks. Like, it can be rather annoying. I remember we used it in Sword and Shield Battle Spot singles, I think on a Poke at the Episode team a while ago.
Really?
With this type of set. And, it has potential. It does get some good coverage. I didn't know it got play rough, but it has play rough.
Yeah, coverage. It has okay coverage. It's not the best, but it's not the worst.
I mean, what, you have a dark move, an electric move, a fairy move.
No, this is like, this feels like the case for like a lot of electric type Pokemon where like, they get a lot of good electric moves, obviously, and then they'll get like okay moves of the other types, or they'll get like one good move from another type, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Luxray's the bane of being Pokemon electric type.
With a base stat total of 523.
Yeah. I mean, what's Arcanine's base stat total? Like, this is pretty close to Arcanine's, I feel like. Arcanine's like 525 or something.
Arcanine? Give me a second.
I'm looking at it right now. Arcanine's...
like 555.
Never mind. I was wrong.
It's got like 25 on him.
Mm-hmm. 30, almost. 32.
Ish.
Man, okay, Luxray just needs that, like, in-between gen buff. Did it get one of those? No, it didn't. It didn't get one of those.
No. We haven't had an in-between gen buff since Gen 7.
Yeah, I know. It's about time for you, like, Luxray.
To stats.
Luxray needs it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Pokemon that need buffs, but that's a whole other episode.
Yes. Luxray definitely...
Just give it 10 points in speed. It's not amazing, but it's a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Honestly...
10's not enough anymore.
Yeah, it needs, like, 20 or 30.
It needs to at least hit 100.
Yeah. It needs a lot nowadays. I mean, it's in ZU, so I don't actually know what happens in ZU anymore.
Right, even then, I think if you just gave it 100 base speed with its current stats, it's still not going to go much higher.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it does suffer from being like just a pure electric type Pokemon. Like those historically just don't do that well. I don't remember, I think the last time I remember like a pure electric type Pokemon doing well was like Gen 4, and that was Electivire before Team Preview.
Do you want to talk about Zeraora at all?
Oh, Zeraora did okay, I guess, yeah. But that's because Zeraora is a mythical, and it's fast. It's like stupid fast. Did Zeraora make it in Scarlet and Violet? I don't think it did, right?
No, it hasn't been.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's not free yet. No, there's like a handful of mythical Pokemon that are still kind. Well, Zeraora wasn't locked to the 3DS.
Like it hasn't been let out of home since.
Yeah.
It was in Sword and Shield.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if they put it in Gen 9 or not.
I didn't realize Raging Bolt had 137 special attack.
Dude, Raging Bolt is actually really good.
This is not a Raging Bolt stream.
We did Raging Bolt the other time, not too long ago.
Because you're like, I haven't seen a pure electric type. I was like, oh, what ones have been out lately? And it's kind of scrolling, and then I just happened to see that.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last. I can't tell you what Pokemon, like what electric type Pokemon would be good, like pure electric type. Outside, I mean, Zeraora is a very good point.
The last one,
but. I mean, Regieleki is only because it's incredibly fast, and it has a decent special attack.
Pure Electric, Belly Bolt, and Electivire. So RU right now.
That's RU. Okay, continue.
And it's Belly Bolt, Electivire, and Raikou, who are all the same.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're just the same Pokemon, right? Like,
pretty much.
I do miss the days in Gen 4 when you could do the good old Gyarados and Electivire switch before Team Preview, and you could get the motor drive off.
Yeah. No, electric is just not a good type on its own. It needs...
Yeah. No. Electric type is a great dual type. Depending on what you are. Like, Rotom. Look at Rotom. Like, Rotom thrives because of Levitate and electric type.
You're right. Especially Rotom Wash.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Luxray, that's just not the case. I have heard a lot of calls for Luxray to get like the dark typing.
Boo.
At this point, no. Maybe like when it came out, we could have made that argument, but now, no.
But even then, it doesn't feel like a dark type to me. If I was
give it a regional form, and then we could talk.
A regional form of Luxray needs to happen. Yeah.
A regional form of Luxray. Make it a dark type. Make it a saber-toothed tiger.
Ooh, there
we go. There we go. Now I'm in.
Give it strong jaw. There, we're done.
Yeah, that'd be good.
The only problem with the regional form is it keeps the same stats, so it's going to be useless.
Well, you can still shuffle them around.
You can shuffle, yeah. 15, yeah, they do move it around, yeah.
Yeah, move speed, make it attack and speed. That's better.
Yeah, I think you could do that. I think you shuffle it around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them do.
Or maybe we get, like, a quote-unquote, like, conversion that's not regional, and it's just completely different. Actually, they kept the stat spreads exactly the same for both Toadscruel and Wugtrio. God, Wugtrio. What a name.
What a weird thing.
Yeah, I was like really hoping they'd go for something original there and we wouldn't get Wugtrio, and then we got Wugtrio. Wugtrio, why do you exist? Why? Why? But yeah, I mean, that's Luxray. If you want to try it out, go ahead and play around with Luxray. I mean, if not, I mean, we've given our thoughts. Well, the Mystery Dungeon boss you wanted to talk about, Linnean.
Oh, yeah, the Luxio and Luxray form the single worst Mystery Dungeon boss in one of the Explorers games.
Yeah.
It was so bad it was nerfed in Sky.
It was so hard.
Because it's like 9 of them.
What?
Yeah.
I've never played. Please explain.
Oh. So you enter the room. Yeah, you enter the room, mm-hmm. and then you have the little Luxray's gleam eyes effect.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, I feel like I'm being watched. And then you're like, okay. And then Luxray has this whole dialogue about how you can't get through here until you beat him up in his pack. And then it spawns in either 6 or 7 Luxio.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
It's the hardest fight in the game up until the final boss, and it's like the third boss.
Oh my gosh.
It is the point in the game that I retried like 9 times, and it sucked.
That sounds awful, yeah.
So bad.
That does sound awful. Good.
Well, that, and it's like, if you happen to have a water starter, you're used twice.
Also, They all have, there's only one move you could feasibly have that hits a bunch of Pokemon, and it's Discharge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think at that point.
And they have Lightning Rod.
Oh my gosh. Fun. Really good game design. Much good.
Great game. Yep. Happiness.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it for Luxray and this Pokemon of the episode. We are going to go ahead and we're going to kick things on over then to our mailbag.
It's mail time. Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know what you think about the show from the week prior. We take a chance to listen to it and read them all. So we're going to read a couple emails here from you guys today about our top five and bottom five dragon type list.
A list I object to.
That's fine. I mean, that's the point. and of course, we can... as always, this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
And as always, give out the Green Tauros badge to anybody we deem worthy. So with that out of the way, we got one email from Carr this week. I'm going to go ahead and read it. So let's get started. How's it boast, Thatch and co-hosts? Question mark. Carr here, and ho boy.
Wait. Can you repeat that one more time, please?
How's it boast, Thatch and co-hosts? Carr here, and ho boy, it's the episode I've been dreading, top and bottom five dragons. In case you didn't read the full subject line, this is the last warning, but I have some bad takes on dragon-type Pokemon and feel the need to discuss them. Dragon-type is an incredibly mid-type that doesn't deserve all the love it gets.
Okay.
Facts right here.
I actually agree with this. I actually really agree with this. I read this week and I'm like, yeah, this jives. I fully understand that I have some weird hangups when it comes to Pokemon. The strongest of them being that I barely consider legendary Pokemon and the related subgroups like Ultra Beast and Paradox Pokemon to be real Pokemon. This is a stretch, but continue.
Okay.
Is this neglect the fault of those Pokemon? No. They don't deserve the disrespect that I put on them and will continue to do so. I mean, Dragon is one of the strongest types in the game, so much so that Fairy is basically just the anti-Dragon type. To me, that's one of the problems. Dragon type is mid because it's so strong, but not actually. Dragon Pokemon tend to be very strong, but the type itself is fine. Four decent resist in fire, water, grass, and electric is good, but it's only super effective against itself. We didn't really get multiple good Dragon moves until Gen 4. Outrage was the only decent move before then. The reason Dragon is a good type is because of the Pokemon that make up the Dragon type, mostly Legends and Pseudo-Legends. Out of the 72 non-Mega Dragon types, 45 of them are Legendaries, Pseudo-Legendaries, Ultra Beast, or Paradoxes. We've already discussed that I barely consider these to be real Pokemon. So where does this hatred come from? In part, I think it comes from the way I build team build. Like many people, I assume, I like to plan my team out ahead. This way of team building also means that I don't generally ever plan on using more than 6 team members. Dragon types, especially in the older generations, were almost exclusively held in the later post-game. The only way of getting Dratini was to do either the Safari Zone or gamble entirely too long, both luck-based. Bagon requires you to backtrack after the 8th gym. Actually, catching Dratini wasn't too bad in the Safari Zone.
No, that was painless.
You just needed Super Rod.
Yeah, it was just Super Rod.
I think it was a 15%.
Yeah, it was like actually pretty high.
But in that one, unlike everything else in the Safari Zone, you didn't have to
walk.
Do anything for. You just walk to the water.
Bagon requires you to backtrack after the 8th gym. Gible thankfully bucks this trend in Gen 4, only for Dino. To be fair, Gible, you also have to like go under a bridge into a very particular cave, but that's neither here nor there.
But that's just like there are a lot of Pokemon that are in a weird spot.
Only for Dino to end up at Victory Road. Frankly put, there isn't enough time in it in an in-game playthrough to adequately bond with any of these dragon types. Later gens try to make up for this late availability by making more dragons overall, but many end up being forgettable, like Turtonator. So what does a top 5 or bottom 5 list even look like for me? Well, here we go. Top 5, Garchomp, available at a decent level. Latios and Latias, because you can soar on them in Oras. Haxorus, still feels like a pseudo, but with none of the cost. Hisuian Gudra, I just can't get over the reference with the knights fighting snails in France. Cyclizar. I just love how you can see them all over the place. Bottom five. Alolan Exeggutor. I love this Pokemon so much and it boils my blood how long into Sun and Moon I have to wait to get one. Turtonator. Drampa. Regidrago. Why did we need new Regis? Actually, I don't think that's the problem I have with it. I have the problem that it's a Charizard head, but that's a different thing. Dragalge. Remember Dragalge?
He's got real strong opinions for someone who doesn't consider it a real Pokemon being a legendary.
I hope this list and my thoughts on dragon types didn't take up too much time or cause any ears to expel smoke, but it had to be said. Appreciate all you do. I love that email, though. I love the it was the right energy for this episode, okay?
That's fair. I object to the framing, not his, but just of the episode. It's like, well, this is like really a dragon. I'm like, my favorite dragons are barely dragons.
Yeah, my favorite dragons are tiny little...
My favorite dragon types are Dracozolt and Alolan Exeggutor. Those are a dinosaur and a palm tree.
I have to go check my favorite dragon. I think it's still Flygon, but that's just nostalgia.
I knew I was in for a time when you're like, first off, let's absolutely put Dragonite in. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. So like, then Garchomp and Salamence. And I'm like, oh no, it's every 14-year-old in 2018. Oh no.
Oh, I understand. That's the thing. It's like, I'm a huge Dragonite fan, and I think that's actually my favorite dragon. But
Dragonite's fine, but it's the three together that's revealing.
Yeah, but like, you know, like it's a timing thing.
Mm.
I have a lot of shared memories with Dragonite.
If I'm gonna briefly knock the last three out, Crydon, Walking Wake, and Latias, because I'm not immune to Gen 3 propaganda. And I used after using Latias in that draft league, she shot up my list.
Well, that's the thing, is the more we use Pokemon, I think the more it gets better or worse.
Well, I always liked Latias a lot, but using it, I have come to the conclusion, probably incorrect, that she's just better than Latios in any draft thing, because it's always like a couple points cheaper, and you can do the same stuff.
Yes and no, but yes and no. That's it, yes and no.
All right, well, we got another email then from, I believe this is Barely Trying?
Yeah, I'll take this one. What's up, Puckle people? Barely Trying here in Leet Speak. Once again, to chat about my top and bottom five dragon Pokemon. I've been waiting for this so people can know who the best pseudo/dragon type is. I'm jumping right into this list. No chit-chat. That was chit-chat. Incorrect. Top five. Salamence. This Pokemon is truly, without a doubt, the best Pokemon ever created. It is perfect in every way. It is menacing. The colors just mix on it so well.
So what were you saying about earlier about Sal?
Oh, I'm aware.
We can tell from the people who's...
Don't worry, the list is,
Okay, I don't care about Salamence either, so it was not my choice to put that on the list, so that's okay.
But we'll continue. I just find this very funny. It's the poster for dragons. Nothing else could do it, not even Dragonite. I will stop here, but I could keep going. Rayquaza is my favorite legendary by a long shot, and its shiny is in the top five of all Pokemon easily. Just a magnificent Pokemon all around. Goodra. It's just a derpy special defense tank that should be water type. I don't know why I like it so much, but it's my second favorite pseudo, and it's shades of purple. Maybe that's why. Reshiram, the first fire dragon, and my second favorite legendary. It's one of the most elegant Pokemon ever created, and its signature move is easily one of my favorite moves, being Blue Flare.
That's an interesting choice for a favorite move.
Blue Flare?
Yeah, right? Like...
It's not a signature move of it, though. Victini gets it.
Yeah, well, does Victini learn it, or does...
Just via event.
Or is it just event?
It's just event.
Because then we could be like, Roar of Time isn't Dialga's signature move.
Yeah, I just don't know what... Yeah, you know, send another email. Explain why that's one of your favorite moves.
I actually need this to be explained.
It's just nothing special, you know?
It's pretty much like... It's pretty much Fire Blast, right? Like, it's not much different. Like,
yeah, like, I don't...
It's a 130 base power, 85 accurate move.
20% chance to burn... What's Fire Blast? What's Fire Blast?
10% chance to burn and 120 base power, so it's marginally better Fire Blast.
110 base power, though, not 120.
Oh, so it's just better Fire Blast.
It's better Fire Blast, yeah.
All right, well, to continue briefly, the only downside is the shiny is meh. If they switched the colors of Reshiram and Zekrom for the shinies, it would have been better, but oh well. Five, most of the Applin line. Everything about the Applin line is amazing. Only one stage of it is left out. But the worm and an apple being a dragon is very funny, and Hydrapple makes the line even better. Bottom five. Flapple. No.
What? How?
I like that he calls it Flaplin and not Flapple.
No, this is...
Flaplin. Why is this weird bat apple dragon a thing? Like, what is the point? I hate it so much. The world would be better if it didn't exist, in my personal opinion. You can be wrong.
I feel so personally attacked right now. I love Flapple.
It is so ugly compared to the rest of the evolution line. Really, it just kills the cute vibe of the Applin line. Just like with Salamence being number one in my top five, I could keep going, but I have four others I don't like. Kyurem, it's ugly.
Fight me!
And one of the Pokemon that almost committed murder, and that's not cool. As opposed to Ogerpon, who committed murder and is very cool. That is a me edition.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, though, Lydian. You know.
No, I'm not. Noivern. I don't really like bats, but Noivern's so cool. Right? Why are there multiple bat dragons? Can someone explain this to me? Because they're wyverns. At least the shiny is okay, but it's the only thing it's got going for this bat.
I don't agree, but okay.
Turtonator. Yeah, this is an easy answer. No one likes this landmine turtle. It's a landmine, and maybe it should be ground type. That makes sense, but it is what it is. This man is coming for me.
Right?
Walking Wake. Why is Suicune standing? Is it because it's dragon type now and it thinks the other two can't stand? What a show off. It looks silly in a bad way. Gouging Fire. You're trolling me.
Right? Did you just say Gouging Fire is the best?
Gouging Fire is the best.
With the buck teeth?
I love Walking Wake because it's a raptor.
Yes.
That's why it's standing.
Yes.
Gouging Fire has such a... If they fixed its face, maybe I'd like it, but it just looks like a dog in a hat.
Yes, I agree with you. Yes, you're not wrong.
I don't like it.
Okay, yep.
That's all that I have for the dragons. Wondering what your thoughts on the list are. We've mentioned them, and until the next type... until the legendary episode, I guess. Have a good one, folks.
Let me start by saying a couple of things. One, everybody is wrong. The best dragon type is Terra Dragon Steel.
What? No. What are you talking about? That's not the rules at all.
But it is the rules. No.
Best dragon is Terra Dragon Charizard.
No. My favorite thing was on the YouTube comments for this. I know who it was. But. Somebody put a comment on there for like best dragon types, and they just put all they put was Mega Charizard X, because I think they knew it would upset me. They knew it would. It did. I felt that.
Milotic is the best dragon type.
It's fine. Claude, take us home with this last email from Zay Paladin.
All right. Hey, Thatch and esteemed co-hosts. Hope everyone's been doing well lately. I won't drag. Funny. The intro on, so I'll get right into the topic. For the top five dragons, I have, in no particular order, Flygon, Garchomp, Roaring Moon, Bagon, and Dialga. Bagon is one of the best early form dragons just due to its dex entries. See? Bagon dreams of flying one day, and it tries to achieve its dream by plunging off a cliff repeatedly. It's just a silly and cute backstory that makes the whole line more complete. And also, I love how they did that in, Gen 7? Where at the bottom of the cliff, you can find, like, level 7 Salamences.
Mm-hmm.
So I do love how they sometimes tie in the dex entries into everything. I thought that was really cool. Anyways, speaking of the Bagon line, Roaring Moon is just a cool Pokemon in general. When I was a gym leader, I had it on my team, and it was simply a menace. Its typing, design, shiny, and competitive usage makes it what I think is one of the best new mons to come out of Gen 7. All right, hot take. Roaring Moon is better than Salamence. That's my thought. Claude, right there.
I agree with you, Claude. I don't agree with you on a lot of things.
Just to go in with the episode, Roaring Moon greater than Salamence.
I don't agree with you on a lot of things, but I'll agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
We agree on like 50% of things that come out of my mouth.
I actually think you and I agree on TCG calls more than I agree with Seth, so.
Probably. Okay. Anyways, Dialga's on this list. Dialga's on the list? I said Flygon, Garchomp, Roaring Moon, Bagon, Dialga. Yep, okay. Dialga is on this list out of nostalgia, and also feeling like the most legendary dragon. The first time I played through Diamond, I remember getting stuck trying to catch it. My team was underleveled for that point in the game, and I already used my Master Ball. 8-year-old me did not understand I could save right before the fight and simply turn my DS on and off to reset from that point. So each time I lost, I had to climb Mount Coronet each time. That's miserable.
That is, yes.
The time I spent trying to catch Dialga to add to my team made it one of the most challenging and fun legendaries I remember catching. Garchomp's status has been elevated for me over the past year playing Scarlet and Violet. When the game first came out, I built a sand team and ran Bright Powder Sand Veil on the Landshark. I was trying to ride the cheese all the way to Master Ball tier. I mean, if it works, it works. Finally, Flygon. If a region's Pokedex has a Flygon available, it will be part of my team. The original Ground Dragon. Simply a good boy that deserves more than it gets from Game Freak. I will use this segment to add that since people think it should have been Bug Dragon, it should get a Rocky Payload ability, but for bug moves. Boom, you're welcome. Okay.
But then it does get Levitate.
Yeah, I think the Levitate makes it very good. Well, yes, I do wish it had like a Bug Dragon. I wish it was more special built than it is. I wish it was more, because I think its stats are kind of like...
Yeah, it's very even keeled in the stat distribution.
I wish it was more leaning towards the special side than the mix.
Than the mix it is, yeah.
That's just a personal thing. As for the not five dragons, I have, in a particular order, Mega Ments, Mega Sceptile, Haxorus, Dragalge, and the crown jewel, Mega Charizard X.
That belongs there.
Yes, I know there's a lot of Megas here. I think a lot of Megas for dragon types were over-designed. For Ments and Salamence, these are the biggest offenders of being over-designed. The next two dragons, Haxorus and Dragalge, have the issue of being overshadowed by other dragons from their gen, namely Hydreigon and Gudra. Also, I didn't play the Gen 5 and 6 games until Ultra Moon were around, so that's probably a factor. Pretty sure I went over the word limit at this point, so I'll keep the Mega Charizard point short and sweet. Charizard, bad, too much Zard. Looking forward to what everyone's favorite dragons are. Oh, and listening to everyone state in no less than a 3-page paper why you guys wronged Flygon last week. What did you guys do with Flygon last week?
We didn't put him in the bottom. I just don't think he made the top.
Okay. He shouldn't have been in the bottom, but he definitely should have been the top. Nah, maybe not. Anyways, cheers. See Paladin.
Well, thank you for those emails. If you want to email us next week, please let us know what your hot takes are at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. And we will go ahead and read those on the show. Until next time, though, you can hang out with us.
Whoa. Green Tauros badge?
Green Tauros badge. Oh, yeah. I always forget. It's fine.
Do we want to give it to anyone? We don't have to.
No, I liked all of these, honestly. They all rage baited us very well.
I want to give it to Carr, I think.
Carr's was very good.
Yep, that works for me.
You know what, Carr? It's all yours. All right. Well, if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, you can go to our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. Additionally, you can follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can help. You can watch our video content over at YouTube.com/PucklePodcast or at Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. I'll be on this Wednesday. I think we're going to start my egg lock this week. I was already talking to stream about it.
You're doing an egg lock?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to do an egg lock on Scarlet. I want to play Violet all the way through. And I was just like, egg lock sounds like a really fun way to do it. And just have people throw eggs at me. And then we just use whatever they give me.
Cool.
I think it would be just a blast. So we're going to do egg lock. Fans are already breeding eggs. If you're interested, definitely show up to do that. Additionally, if you want to support the show, the best way to do so is go over to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. We've got the merch tier over there. We've got some extra shows for you guys to listen to. It's a really, really good time. Additionally, if you want to, you can also be on the Patreon, Puckle's Patreon Hangout, and be on a podcast and get to hang out with us. So I really like doing those. Additionally, if you want to buy cardboard like me and Claude, you can go over to trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout and get 5% off. Anytime you use that code, we really appreciate it. So, other than that, I have been Trainer Thatch.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Time to say our goodbyes. It's closing time. Catch you on the flip side.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.